Buju, Osteo, Miakan, Nishnakas, Mahuan, Dorum, Arkansas, Ndongjaba, Cherokee, and now. I'd like to introduce myself in the language of the community that I serve. My English name is Tina Louise. I serve as the Director of American Indian or Behavioral Health and Recovery in American Indian Health and Family Services. Something did not merge well in the transition of the PowerPoint slides, so we'll see how well that goes. I also want to tell you that I have a lot of slides. I thought the presentation was going to be a little bit longer than 20 minutes, so I might fly through some things. So if you have some questions or some more information that you'd like to gather, if I'm going too fast, just let me know. The good thing is you'll have more information with the slides that I know that will be available for you. So. And I think this is going to be a really good follow-up to that last presentation, so let me go ahead and begin. What I'm here to talk about today is really kind of the idea of putting theory into action. So this is a presentation on a partnership between American Indian Health and Family Services, which is a health clinic in Detroit. We're an Indian Health Services Title V clinic. We provide behavioral services, medical services. We have community center health education side. And we have been, over the past 5 years, trying to build up our children's behavioral health services. And so this partnership that I'm going to talk about really represents the culmination of the process of us getting to the point of being able to provide those services. There's my disclosure. Okay, so for just a really quick little bit of background, this has been, a long process. It started back in easily 2007 with a partnership with the University of Michigan School of Social Work, funded through SAMHSA, then with an additional partnership within our tribal council to get to the point of where we are today with the Detroit Wayne Community Mental Health Authority, County Mental Health Authority. And then our goal of all this funding and all this process, again, was to from a micro level, was to increase our capacity to provide children's mental health services. And then also ultimately to the larger system of care, and I'll talk a little bit very briefly about what a system of care is, and to expand that and to increase the capacity in Wayne County to provide services to our community in a way that was the best fit. So just kind of some quick learning objectives, kind of understand a little bit of the infrastructure, what it took for us to get to the point where we could actually merge a system of care, one that we had created within our community with one that was much larger in a county. And then also to kind of demonstrate how effective we've been and talk a little bit about considerations, things to think about for the future, specifically regarding public health. This is kind of what I'm quickly going to run through. I'll talk a little bit about our process and again kind of considerations and really some challenges and barriers too to think about. So I'll start today by talking a little bit about where we started at AIHFS. So what happened is we had families that were in need of services. They had children who were needing behavioral health services, and the clinic at the time did not currently provide them. So this would have been around 2007. Though we live in a large county where there are mental health services and children's mental health services that are available, we had families coming in who were saying, look, we're just not getting our needs met. And this is an agency. You are a health center. You should be able to help us with this. And so the idea was, okay, you know, you're right, we do, but we need to really look at what that means. And so the agency wrote a Circles of Care grant through SAMHSA to conduct a needs assessment. And it was a four-year needs assessment to really look at, okay, well, what would that look like in the community to provide children's behavioral health services? And what do we really need to provide? What is our community really asking for? And through that needs assessment and through the Circles of Care project, which is funded through SAMHSA, we were able to find that there was a strong need for integration of traditional medicine, Western medicine, and mental health care, that was very important that these things all mesh together, that there were some significant barriers and obstacles that came out from the get-go. One, there was a significant amount of trust issues, which is why we had several people coming in with their children looking for services in the first place, that there were limited services available specifically at our agency. Physical space was a challenge. At the time that I started, there was no space to be able to provide services to children and youth in terms of mental health care and transportation. Transportation in the city of Detroit is very limited. Public transportation is very poor. Car insurance is extremely expensive. being able to even come into services can be a significant barrier. And then two, we needed to define what types of ways that, especially Wayne County and the systems that we would be collaborating with, because in order to provide a certain level of mental health care services, there were certain definitions that, you know, larger Western society would be deeming would be kind of gatekeeping barriers to the types of services that we would be able to provide in an urban environment. And so we really wanted to talk to the community about what it means, this concept of SEBD, or having children that are designated as social, emotional, having behavioral difficulties, was that a good fit, and how we would address that in the community. So we were able, through the needs assessment, to really get the community to look at, you know, is this a label that works? You know, what do you feel about this label, this idea of calling children, you know, severely emotionally disturbed? Which is, so I say that because in Wayne County, SEBD is not the term. So in Wayne County, the term that's utilized to provide services, a higher level of care for children with, you know, a certain level of mental health need, it's SED. So you would be considered severely emotionally disturbed. And so understanding what that label meant. And so the general consensus of our focus groups was that, one, our children are not disturbed, right? So there was automatically a mismatch between the language and designation that was being used, the pathologizing, and, you know, that this concept is not strength-based, and that actually, oh gosh, you're not able to see the bottom of the slide of the definition. But what the community decided is that that SED had much more to do with children who were out of balance and challenged by spiritual unrest. And so why was that important, and what did that mean? So the concept of spiritual unrest is because there was this real need and desire to incorporate culture, right, and traditional practices into mental health services. And that a lot of the children were experiencing more a disconnection, because you can't separate out spiritual practice a lot from culture, right, and understanding culture. When I say culture, I mean, you know, anything from language, traditional teachings, dance, music, medicines, all of that, right? It is also very much connected to spirituality. And so that could not be separated. And so really it was this disconnect, right? And that's where a lot of the suffering was happening with children in the community. And so that was very important, that as we moved forward to provide those services, that we were very cognizant of what the community felt was how we needed to define these services. And we knew that with probably with the county, it might be a little bit of an uphill battle, but we're going to do it anyway. So what is a system of care? So circles of care was kind of a precursor. There are many tribal sovereign nations that can apply for circles of care, which is designed to kind of get communities ready to think about what is a system of care and provide children's behavioral health services through a system of care model. System of care is really through SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse Mental Health Administration. It was designed originally to really look at more of kind of state level, large government structures that were providing children's behavioral health, but doing it in a way where it kind of was disjointed. You had a lot of different service providers on a state level providing all these different services with very poor outcomes. And so how could you create a structure that would increase the outcomes and create more cohesiveness in the services that were provided, and that would also integrate ideas of like cultural linguistic competency and family voice and choice, and, you know, being youth led, and you throw in some other things, you know, data driven, that's important, you know, trauma informed, and really based on values that fit actually very well with the values that were coming for our community. So it seemed like a very good fit. One of the challenges, though, is that a urban site, even though we're an urban clinic, Title V, we're not considered a tribal entity in the sense that SAMHSA would allow us to apply for these dollars on our own. Even though we were allowed to apply for systems of care and were awarded and did great planning, we were going to have to partner with a tribal entity or a governmental entity in order to move forward to actually get somewhere to provide these services. So the framework, and what's a little bit different about the framework is that, you know, the framework is really how to employ a system of care approach. And we spent a lot of time building a framework within our community of what it would look like for us to be able to provide children's behavioral health services And then kind of being able to take that framework and see how it fits in the larger framework of Wayne County was an important part of the process. But that's why we're kind of differentiating between what a framework is versus just a system of care. But again, I'm going to fly through this. We got a lot to talk about in 10 minutes. So the process of infrastructure development. So what were the things that we had to do? So to provide the services that the community was asking for, you know, one, we needed to, meet these needs, but we also had to make sure, you know, we didn't want to get stuck in a cycle where if we start to build these services that we could provide, that they're all grant funded. Because as many of you are probably aware, when you start getting into the creation of services that are grant funded, it's a vicious cycle. You know, the chances of that, you know, of continuing to have that funding can be very challenging. You end up having to provide services to the grant. It's not sustainable. And so we really had to look at, you know, how could we, if we're going to do this, how are we going to do it well, and how can we do it in a way that is sustainable and ultimately becomes billable? Because that was what we would need to be able to be sustainable providing these services. We also had to figure out, okay, well, we're going to need staff. We're going to need space. We're going to train our staff. And all along the way, we wanted to reflect on what we were learning. Because we knew this was going to be a long process. So our goal was to develop mental health and substance use disorder services for children that met the following criteria, that were culturally based, that were a good fit for our community and the community at large. You know, we don't turn anybody away at our clinic. Anyone in our seven county service area can come in for services. And so we had to keep both of those things in mind. We had to make sure that our services were staffable, that they were fundable, and ultimately billable. And so what did we choose? So we really had to think very succinctly about the different options that were out there, evidence-based versus best practice versus practice-based evidence. We've really kind of moved along the line of practice-based evidence because, you know, most of the interventions or evidence-based practices that were out there were not necessarily a good fit. They weren't normal with our community, and so we had to do a lot of looking for cultural adaptions, for instance. So we did a culturally adapted TFCBT that comes out of Indian Child Trauma Center in Oklahoma, motivational interviewing, CBT, DBT, along with traditional practices. But really the way that they operate in our service provision is more from a practice-based evidence piece. Our partnership with U of M really helps to solidify that because we're able to do a lot of evaluation of the way that we're providing these services to support that evidence-based portion. The types of treatment models that we opted for was wraparound. Because we had a lot of children that were coming in that were in multiple services that were very high need, that were at very high risk of being removed from their homes and removed from the community. So wraparound was a given. Home-based also, because again, with transportation being a barrier and something that's a real challenge, we really wanted to look at, you know, how could we not only provide outpatient, so we do have outpatient services in the clinic, but also meet our families where they're at. So home-based was the other model, and we knew we needed case management and care coordination because we have a very high need. We have a lot of families who are just struggling to have basic needs met, and so we needed care coordination for that. Billability and funding. So once we got Circles of Care, we partnered with Intertribal Council of Michigan to apply for a planning grant. The idea of the planning grant was, okay, now you know what type of services you want to provide, so what is it going to take for you to be able to provide them? So we essentially had a year to learn the systems that were around us to figure out, okay, well, how do we provide these services? How do we become available, fundable, meet all of this criteria? And so the funding allowed us to, one, do all the planning that we needed. It allowed us to begin to think about staff and training and how to train around the treatment modalities that we wanted to utilize and to get technical assistance to understand that we needed to collaborate with Detroit Wayne Mental Health Authority, step one, because that, you know, with our clinic being located in Detroit, Detroit Wayne Mental Health Authority really is the gatekeeper to the services that we wanted to provide. And we had to figure out, okay, well, how are we gonna build a relationship so that we can provide these services with this gatekeeper? And then we were also able to do a bunch of other really great stuff, but I don't have time to talk about that. So the lessons that were learned, you know, from just the second round is that, you know, we were able to collaborate and to begin to form a relationship with the Detroit Wayne Mental Health Authority, again, as the gatekeeper of those services.
And then to start to build our capacity. And this really led to what became the grant that we're in now, which is the implementation of those services and really building our capacity to provide them, which ultimately was this merging of two systems of care. So the work that happened in Circles of Care, that year of planning, was AIHFS creating a Circles of Care, or a system of care within the community level, and then also looking at, okay, connections is Wayne County's. So the Detroit Mental Health Authority has a much larger system of care with lots and lots of different service providers and partners and schools and all different service, different child serving agencies that were at the table, and kind of merging what we had learned were best practices through our kind of micro level system of care with this much larger county level. And the good thing is that they were really excited about that. So we spent a significant amount of time kind of coming up with a plan for what that would look like. So this is our SAMHSA grant that we're currently in, is both a micro and macro level of grant work. One, it expands culturally and linguistically competent services and policies through connections, which is something that the connection system of care had not focused on before. And really looking at some of the components of what we had as a model of system of care, because we really focused at AHFS on making sure that we had voice of family, that we had voice of youth, and not just tokenism, right? Because tokenism is a real issue. And a lot of counties, and even in a lot of ways, so was Wayne County, experiencing a lot of tokenism in the way that they were representing, you know, whether or not there was parent voice or family voice. And so then kind of coming up with a model to utilize things that we were doing in our agency that would help bridge that gap. We had technical assistance because in order for us to become a provider of wraparound services, home-based services, we've had to do a lot. And then we also wanted, though, because there were two very strong agencies, or very strong, one youth and one parent organization within Wayne County that we felt like really needed extra support. Right, that had been working through connections for a long time, and so we could utilize these grant dollars to also support these agencies as well. Parent support partnering is something we were very interested in, so Family Alliance for Change is a part of this project, as well as Youth United. So our grant was awarded. We had several challenges with the grant award, because in the beginning it was awarded to the county, and then the county became an authority, and so we kind of had all these things that we had a couple of barriers for the first like 6 months. We got through it, but the process of merging has taken a very long time. We're in year three of a four-year grant. Thus far, we have joined connections as an agency. We've written a disparity statement that was extremely important. And I'll talk a little bit about why when I get to some of the barriers that I feel like I have like 2 minutes left. We've done extensive awareness building. We've done a crosswalk with Detroit Wayne around their paperwork, the way that they were providing services and providing wraparound services. Because from the get-go, we're like, this isn't going to work with our families. They're not going to understand this. Like, even just the way that you do paperwork. And so we had to do more capacity building. Actually, we needed to become empaneled. We needed to become accredited. The agency had to do all of these things in order to even just be a part of the system. Actually, CARF is coming Thursday to our agency. So, it's really been a bit of a whirlwind, but we're getting there. And then, again, kind of expansion of all these programs. And there's been some real key changes. Here's just quickly an example. So as part of this project, there was a logo change for Connections, where actually we brought the logo to our advisory council, and they had a lot to say about the logo, right? About how it looked and how it didn't look and what was missing. And so you can see just very quickly, like, some of the striking changes between, what the Connections logo looked like before the project and what it looks like now. This is what the Connections, their system of care framework looked like before. Here's what their system of care framework looks like now. You see up in the governing body, now you have a parent and advisory council that is influencing and very much a decision maker in what's happening with policies through the system of care that wasn't there before. So our effectiveness, my time is up. I still have 20 seconds. Okay, I'll show you just very quickly, I have examples in here of some of the forms that we've adapted. It's been a significant amount of work. You know, what I will say very quickly in my last 20 seconds is that the type of work that we've engaged in required a significant amount of strong voice. Part of the reason we had to have the disparity statement is because I can't tell you how many times I would go into meetings and be told there are no Native children in Wayne County. You know, there are no Native kids here. And my response to them is, oh, yes, they are. They're just not coming in for services from you, and here's why. And you're not identifying our kids. And so, you know, there was a lot of things we had to do as well. Match requirements are a significant challenge. And here's just some very quick considerations of things to think about moving forward. But like I said, all these slides are in there, so I hope you have a moment to go back and review them. I wish I had just a little bit more time, but thank you for listening to me.